Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning will be in verses 14 through 19. This morning we're going to talk about three very special gifts that we receive from our Heavenly Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 19, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the day that we can have together. Thank you for the time, Lord, that we can sit together and we can hear from heaven. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Pray that you guide us according to your will, that you would establish my thoughts, establish the thoughts of your people. Help us not to be distracted in our minds away from you. We know we have an adversary that wants to distract us from hearing from heaven. Father, I ask that you'd speak to our hearts in a very special way this morning. As always, Lord, continue to speak to the hearts of the children, helping them to understand the Bible lessons they're being taught, allowing the Word of God to take root in their heart, to bring forth faith in their life, that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ at the appropriate time, that they would learn to walk with him, Lord, as they walk with friends, trusting him with every step of their life. Father, would you help us to continue to trust you and to continue to think about the things we'll talk about this morning and what it is a blessing to be a child of the King of kings and Lord of lords, to be on the winning side, that our faith, we walk by faith, not by sight, but Lord, one day our faith will be seen. We'll see our Savior face to face, and we look forward to that. We look forward to seeing the one who walked a perfect life, who laid down his life for us so that we might have life. Father, I ask that you would just speak to us in a very special way this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go through Romans chapter 8 and these verses this morning, I do want to point out to us three gifts that we receive from our Heavenly Father. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." There's probably not a single person who does not like to receive gifts. Most everyone loves to receive gifts, and probably one of the perfect gifts to receive is one you were not expecting. And again, if, you know, sometimes depending on your age, you don't even want to think about a birthday and you don't want anyone to mention it. The younger ones, they look forward to it. And yesterday we had a little birthday party for Lily. And she had some friends come over, and they dressed up like princesses and, you know, and all this stuff. And she got some princess dolls, and she was excited. I mean, just, Lily is probably one of the most I don't know how you would say it, but she shows her emotions. I mean, she has some of the best I mean, every present, it didn't matter what it was, she was just excited and shaken and just, she loved everything. You know, there are just gifts in life that we love, and there sometimes are gifts we don't like. You ever got a gift that you were wanting the receipt so you could take it back to the store and get the money? Because, you know, either you already had that they gave you, or it wasn't something you wanted. Some people do that. But again, this morning, going to talk about three gifts that we are thankful for, three gifts that God does give to every single person that is a child of the King. The day that you asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you weren't thinking about all the other things that God would bring into your life. At that moment, you are just thinking about the greatest gift, and that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as you have lived life since that day, you've seen some blessings of the Lord. You've noticed God giving you gifts throughout your life. And one of the greatest gifts I believe that God can give us is the gift of direction. You now have a direction in your life that points to Jesus Christ and points to a place that's been prepared for you in eternity. You look at verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, He gives us the gift of direction. We're no longer wandering in this world, but we have a direction to go, and that direction is led by the Holy Spirit. In verse 9 of the same chapter, Romans chapter 8, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." You have the Spirit of Christ in you if you are a child of the King, if you have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. That is a great gift to receive of God, His presence in your life. It's not that He just is there and, you know, guides you, but the fact that He's in you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You have God that you know will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there, and He does guide us and lead us. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He guides us according to His will. There are times where we may take steps in this life thinking that, you know what, this is what I think I'm supposed to do, and we're taking those steps, not realizing God is guiding us where He wants us to go. I can remember just even making the decision as a young man. I think I was 19 at the time. I had just gotten married to my wife, and we had only been married, I think, 6 months, maybe 7 months, and I had the opportunity to move from Mississippi to Wisconsin with the company that I was working with. The opportunity arose, and I was like, you know what? This is the best opportunity I'm ever going to get. Where I'm at is a dead end, so you know what? We're just going to do this. Have no idea where Wisconsin is on the map. I've never been out of Mississippi other than to go on vacation a couple times with the family. And we just, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do and just go. Throw all our stuff, whatever we have, throw it on the U-Haul with my brother-in-law. And we're just going to go. Not knowing that it was God's will. Because it was in Wisconsin where I had put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Went to church as a young boy. Knew about heaven and hell, but it was never real in my life. And even though I was making a decision, God was guiding my steps, because we ended up, the first apartment we stayed in was just around the corner of the church that we would spend 13 years in. But as we lived there in that apartment, and my wife wanting to go to that church, I said, no, I don't want to go to that church. That church looks like a double-wide trailer. I want to go to a church that is a big fancy church, and you know, you can tell it's a church. Several years later, God brought us back around and ended up going to that church for 13 years. But what I'm saying is, I made a decision. I thought I was doing what I wanted to do, but God was guiding me to a place where I would put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and then spend time in a church growing in my faith and learning how to serve and being called into the ministry. And God has consistently done that in my life, where He has guided me according to His will. And I'll be honest, there's been times where I've kind of bucked up against that, and that's not the direction I want to go. But as the Lord works on our heart, because His will He wants to accomplish in our life, so that we're blessed and He's glorified, and time He's helped me to be able to just surrender to His leading, trusting Him. But the Holy Spirit of God does guide us according to God's will. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, You can't go wrong. God's given us the gift of direction. That direction is always the right direction. You go all the way back and you look at Joshua. God gave Joshua a direction to go in his life. He tells him, be strong and be courageous, because he was going to embark on a journey. He had never been in that direction before. And he was only going to have success if he followed the guidance of God. And even when they crossed over the Jordan River, God tells Joshua, here's the way the procession is going to go. You're going to have the priests out in the front carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And wherever that Ark of the Covenant goes, the people are to follow, because they've not been this way before. God gave them a direction. Even with the pillar of fire that guided them by night when they left Egypt, the pillar of cloud that they followed by the day, he gave them something to lead them in the direction that God wanted them to go. Sometimes I would like God to put up a street sign in front of me and say, this way. Don't go that way, go this way. But it's a soft, still voice behind us, the Bible says. It says, this is the way, walk ye in it. God guides us. God draws us in the direction he wants us to go. And as we yield to that direction, we receive blessing after blessing. We get closer and closer to the Lord. So the gift of direction is truly a wonderful gift that God gives us, because we know God will never lead us in the wrong direction. The Holy Spirit guides us, but also the Holy Spirit teaches us. In John 14 and verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. As Jesus spoke those words to his disciples, they were starting to get upset. They were starting to worry because Jesus kept saying, I'm about to depart. I'm going to leave you. They had walked with him for 3.5 years. They had seen all the miracles. I mean, they knew there was nothing Jesus couldn't do. I mean, he calmed the storm. He made the wind cease. He made the waves become as glass. They saw him cleanse people that had leprosy, where their body, their skin was just riddled with leprosy. He cleansed them and just baby smooth skin. I mean, they saw the blind receiving sight. They saw the lame walking. I mean, all these things that they experienced, Peter, James, and John experiencing the glory of God on the Mount Transfiguration, being in the presence of Jesus Christ in all his glory. I mean, all the things that Peter experienced and saw, but now their hearts were being grieved because Jesus keeps talking about leaving. He keeps talking about being crucified and being buried and raising again. They didn't understand it. And Jesus says, but you know what? It's expedient that I go away, that the Comforter may come. And the Comforter being the Holy Spirit of God that would indwell every believer, comforting us in this world. When we face tragedy, when we face hardships and heartbreaks, Holy Spirit would be able to comfort us and to guide us and to help us to learn what it is God wants me to learn. You know, every situation in your life, there's a lesson to learn. And God wants to lead us through that lesson to help our faith to grow, to help us to continue to see that God only has good things for us. And sometimes good does come out of difficult moments of life. Yet God does have our best interest in mind. God is a good God all the time, and all the time God is good to his people. The Holy Spirit guides us and the Holy Spirit teaches us by revealing the truths of God's word. John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit has been given to you and me and to every believer to guide us through this life and to help us to be reminded, even when we feel down in the dumps, we can still look up unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Holy Spirit always points us back to the Savior, always points us back to the goodness of God and the fact that let's not think like the Israelites. when they first came out of Egypt and were complaining to Moses saying, you know, God brought us out into this wilderness to kill us. 3 days in the wilderness, no food, no water, and God brought us out here to kill us. No, God brought them out there to show them the greatness, to show the fact that he has all power. They had just witnessed all the plagues that God poured upon Egypt that the Egyptians, they couldn't mimic. They couldn't do anything against what God did. What is it that we normally remember in life? Usually, it's the bad things. We can always remember the bad things that happen. Because if I were to ask you, name something, name the last thing God blessed you with. We'd have to sit here, including me. Well, let's see. And we would totally spend so much time trying to figure out, because we're trying to think of something big, like, you know, fire on Mount Carmel that consumed the sacrifice, or maybe, you know, the Red Sea parting. We're trying to think of something big and huge that God did so we can say, yeah, God did that. But what did God do for you this morning? Got you up. He allowed you to wake up, right? It's always good to wake up to another day, even if you don't feel like getting out of bed. We talked about that in Sunday school. There's days where, you know, we just lay there and I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to deal with the kids. I just want to sit here. I just want to lay here. But usually when we get up, when we get going, our mind changes, our focus is on the day. We think about the things we're going to do, and we end up having a good day. What I'm saying is the direction that God gives us in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a good gift. God helps us to live the life he wants us to live, to see the blessings of life that he wants us to see. God does do great and mighty things in our life, but it's even the small details of life that God wants us to see. He's guiding us in. And it's all to bring honor and glory to him, to exalt Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God will always exalt Jesus Christ in our life. Jesus said in John 16:14, he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, speaking of the believers, he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So God's given us the gift of direction. So never believe the lie that God's left you, God's deserted you, you're all alone. Don't have the Elijah syndrome where Elijah thought, I and I only am the only one trying to serve you and all this trouble is coming upon me. God had to remind Elijah, 7,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal. Just because you don't see them, just because you don't know who they are, be encouraged, you're not the only one. And if you were the only physical person left on this earth, God is still with you. Now, some of us might think, you know, that'd be good not to have some people around, just to be all by myself and not be bothered, all right? But the second gift I want you to think about is found in verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The second gift that we receive from our Heavenly Father, because he is a good Heavenly Father, is the gift of adoption. The gift of adoption. We all understand what adoption is. I don't know if anyone here has ever been a foster parent or has adopted any children. My wife and I, we talked about that in the early years, and we've even talked about it recently that, you know, we wouldn't mind adopting children. I mean, we have 10 biological children of our own, but we've talked about adopting because we want every kid to have the opportunity to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to experience a loving home where there's a mom and a dad who loves them and wants to take care of them. Because there are many children that are growing up in homes where one of the parent is absent, one of the parent may be an angry parent, an abusive parent, right? Some kids are just discarded and they're just not loved by anybody. I mean, there's still orphanages around this world where there are children, even because of physical ailment, because of birth defects, they're discarded. They're not wanted by anybody. But yet every single one of them are loved by God. And Jesus Christ died for every one of them. And you and I can think about just being adopted into the family of God. Again, all children want to be loved. All children want to be accepted. All children want to be taken care of. And a family that will adopt a child, they are receiving that child into their family. Think about the adoption that you and I have been given by God into His family, into an eternal family, where you know what? Everything's provided. Things we don't even deserve, He's provided. And He loves us. He has compassion towards us. He watches over us. A place has been prepared for us in eternity. And He loves us unconditionally and sacrificially. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And it was the good pleasure of God's will to adopt us. Remember, David the psalmist said this, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? What's so special about me that God would want me in His family? I mean, I was born a sinner. I've done some, you know, pretty bad things in my life. I mean, as a teenage boy, having gone to church as a young boy and then becoming a teenager, rejecting the things of God, turning my back on God, living a life in rebellion, why would God still want me in His family? Because of love. He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. We love Him because He first loved us. The fact that sometimes we don't even think about that. Again, when I go back and think about the day that I called upon Jesus Christ to be my Savior, I wasn't thinking of all the other things I get with the relationship with God. The fact that I didn't really have a direction in my life. I was just kind of aimlessly, you know, choosing things to do, not knowing that God was guiding my steps according to His will. Not knowing that, you know what? I'm not the black sheep of the family. I'm not the lesser of anybody else in God's family. We're all equal. He loves us all. The fact that we all can cry, Abba, Father. And that word Abba is just, it's a real intimate, sincere way of saying daddy. I mean, it's because I know plenty of fathers. I mean, when I was a little boy and I would go over to friends' houses and their dad was there, I mean, I didn't feel like I could go sit on their lap and tell them all my problems. I mean, I didn't view them as my dad, but my dad, well, he was the biggest dad. I mean, he could beat up all the other dads. I mean, I knew that he would protect me. I knew I could go to him. I knew he loved me. When a child is adopted into a family and they're coming from an abusive home, or they're coming from a place that really didn't love them, they were just used to get the money from the government for themselves, they have to learn that, you know what, that mom, that dad that has brought them into their home and wants them to be their child and even take on their name, that child still is, still kind of weary. They're still cautious about that parent, about that adult, because of past experiences. But as that parent continues to lavish them with love, continues to provide for them, continues to protect them, they come to learn that, you know what, this person really does care about me. This person really does watch out for me. This person wants to provide for me and loves me. And they learn to let down their guard and to let that person into their life. Because, you know, as a child of God, there's times we have to learn to let our guard down. Because God is not a person that has been in our life that's done us wrong. God made the ultimate sacrifice by dying on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And not just dying for our sins, but taking residence in our life. to give us direction, to give us love and compassion, to help us to learn that, you know what, he really does care about me. He really does love me. He really watches over me and knows every step of my life before I take the next step, and he's there to provide for me. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." The moment that you and I and every single believer puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise that you are a child of God. You have been adopted into God's family by Jesus Christ, which can never be taken away, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. God is always making sure that you understand that you are loved by him, you're protected by him, he cares for you, and he wants you to have the boldness to come into the throne room of grace to ask for grace in the time of need, to ask for God's help. The gift of adoption helps us to understand that we have the assurance of the adopted. We have the access to the Heavenly Father. Again, growing up as a boy and spending time with friends and even spending the night at different friends' houses, if I got scared in the night, I did not feel like I could run into their parents' room because I was scared. But if I was at home and got scared, well, sure. I'd bust up in my parents' room and jump in the bed with them, right? Because I didn't feel I had that access with somebody else's father. The Lord wants us to know that we have that access, that we can come to him. We can sit on his lap. I don't know if you've ever thought about sitting on God's lap, coming to God. Don't allow your prayer time to be a ritual. Don't allow your prayer time to be, you know, something, okay, well, that's what I do, but it doesn't mean anything. There's something special about coming to God in prayer, pouring your heart out to him, asking for his help, asking for his protection, asking for his provision, and knowing that he hears you. Have you ever talked to somebody and they were looking at you, but you could tell they were not listening? You ever been talking to someone like that and they're looking, but they look like they're looking past me. They're not listening. And then when you go, so do you understand? They're like, what? What was that? Sometimes I do that to my wife and it gets me in trouble because my thoughts start to think about something else. But you don't like that, do you? You don't like, you know, pouring out your heart to somebody and they're not listening because they don't really care. That's not the way God is. God says, cast all your care upon me, for he careth for you. We have that assurance of the adopted, that we have that access to God the Father. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We are able to come to God the Father and get what we need. Whether it's love, whether it's compassion, whether it's encouragement, whether you just need to spend some time with him, whatever it is, you know you have the assurance to be able to come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only do we have the assurance of the adopted, but the assurance that, you know what, we do have the Holy Spirit of God in us, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You have the assurance of God's Holy Spirit in you, guiding you, comforting you, directing you according to God's will. You don't have to wonder, is he with me today? He's always with you. He's always watching over you. You have that gift. I'm glad it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Religion is empty. A relationship is full. Full of the love of God, full of the compassion of God, full of the grace of God. Aren't you glad that God is not a man that he should lie? I'll be there for you. You call me, I'll be there. Have you ever tried calling someone because you needed help and they didn't answer the phone? I get so aggravated. Sometimes I'll call no one in here. Usually it's one of my kids I'm trying to call and they're not answering the phone. I know. You guys spend so much time on your phone, I don't know why you're not answering your phone. What if it was an emergency? What if I was broken down on the side of the road, right? You ever called someone that you knew, you know what, they should be answering their phone and they're not answering it? Because sometimes we've done that, right? Where someone's trying to call us, I'll call them later. You put the phone down and you just act like you don't hear the phone ringing or you don't see the text that's coming through. But again, we have the assurance of our Father always being there for us. The third gift I want us to think about, we have the gift of direction, the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the gift of position. Look at verse 17. You have a position in God's family. Again, you're not a number. You're not, you know, number, you know, 10,376. He knows you by your name. Just like Mary heard her name in the garden there at the tomb, and she's weeping. The body of Christ is not there. She's assuming someone took the body. She's assuming the man standing before her is the gardener. She says, "Where have you taken his body? Show me and I'll take it away." She's so upset. Have you ever been so upset that there's only one thing that has comforted you? And that was the voice of God. Again, it's not an audible voice. Mary heard an audible voice on that day. Mary, Mary. And what comforting that voice was. What comforting the voice was to the thief on the cross when Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." There's just something comforting about the voice of God when he speaks to our heart. It brings peace. Peace that passes all understanding. It brings assurance. It brings a resolve in our heart. It really dispels any fear that we may be struggling with. It dispels any doubt that we may be struggling with when you hear the voice of God in your heart saying, "Trust me, follow me." Can you imagine what it was like for Peter? I've kind of been on the topic of Peter for a while in Sunday school, and I keep thinking about Peter and just how he must have felt about denying the Lord, not trusting what Jesus told him, that you're going to deny me. Not even asking, "Lord, help me not to deny you." But how he felt afterwards, and he wept out. He left and wept bitterly. And Jesus finds him back in the boat, trying to catch fish, been fishing all night, caught nothing. Peter finally comes to the shore, probably hoping Jesus doesn't say anything to him. He's glad that Jesus is there. I mean, he comes to the shore. He swam to the shore. He's enjoying the fire. He's enjoying the bread, the fish that Jesus has provided. But probably deep down, he's probably hoping Jesus doesn't bring up what he did. I can imagine when Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And that whole discourse that they have, and Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." And Peter's grieved in his heart because Jesus keeps asking him, "Do you love me?" And then Jesus says, "Follow me." You know, those were probably comforting words to Peter because he thought, the Lord probably doesn't even want me to follow him anymore. The Lord probably doesn't want anything to do with me because I messed up. And yet he hears Jesus say, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Follow me." And the only way Peter could follow was forgetting what he had done, leaving the past in the past. You and I have the gift of a position, and that position is being an heir of God. Look at verse 17, "And if children, then heirs," heirs of God. What does it mean to be an heir? It's one who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. You've been adopted into the family of God. There are some things that God has for you. Now, we have a home in heaven. We're going to be in eternity with the Lord. We're going to have that beautiful, perfect mansion that has been prepared for us. We're going to walk on the streets of gold. We're going to enjoy the life that has been prepared for us in eternity. But even now, we get to enjoy the grace of God, the comfort of God, the presence of God. We are the heirs of God because we've been adopted into the family of God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Again, with these gifts that we're thinking about this morning, they're gifts of encouragement. There's times in my life I don't know what direction to go. Job didn't know what direction to go in his life when that trial came in his life. And he's like, I go forward, I go backward, to the left, to the right. I don't see what God's doing. But I know that he knows where I'm at. I know that he sees me. There's times where you don't know what God's doing. You don't know what direction to go. God's being silent, but you can stand upon your faith that I know he sees me. And I'm just going to trust that he's going to guide me whatever direction he wants me to go. I'm just going to wait patiently for him. And while I'm waiting patiently, I know that he will strengthen me according to his word in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It's my favorite verse. I bring it up often because it helps me to remember that when I feel weary and I feel tired and I feel at the end of my rope, if I will just let go, not tie a knot and hold on, but let go and just wait upon God, he'll take care of it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God promises those that wait on him will be encouraged, will be strengthened. We'll receive what we need. And sometimes we don't realize what we need until God provides it, and then we realize that's exactly what I needed. But not only has he given us the gift of being an heir of him, but joint heirs with Christ. Again, we're not equal to Jesus Christ in who he is. But he has allowed us to be joint heirs with him. We are receiving what he's receiving. Remember, he endured the cross, despising the shame, looking past that for what was available. And that was being back at the right hand of the Father, being back in the presence of the Father. You and I get to enjoy with Jesus eternity. Everything that's been provided, everything that's been planned out from the very beginning that God has for us. Joint heir with Christ. Am I deserving of that? Absolutely not. But God's allowed me to be a part of that as well as you. Again, he says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. When you feel like life is dealing you a bad hand, when you feel like life's not being fair, when you feel like there's more problems than solutions in life, remind yourself, you are joint heirs with Christ. That you know what? It could be a lot worse. I've got something far better than this world has to offer, and that is the things of God through Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You and I are not only heirs of God, but joint heirs with Christ, because he has given us the power to become the sons of God. You are a child of the King. You know what? We can live like the children of the King. And off that, we're thinking, okay, well, I want my mansion now. I want this. I want that. I mean, if I'm going to live like a child of the King, then I need that silver spoon. Because there are some people that think, you know what? Well, if I was in Bill Gates' family, if I was in Donald Trump's family, if I was in And people will think of people who have a lot of money. I mean, if I was in their family, that'd be great because I would inherit what they have. But the greatest thing to inherit is Jesus Christ himself. Because the things of this world we know are going to dissolve. They're going to burn up. But the things that God has provided will last for eternity. This morning, you and I can be encouraged in the gifts that God's given us. The direction of the Holy Spirit in our life. The fact that he has given us a position in Jesus Christ. A position that will never be taken away. You'll never be discarded. That adoption will never be null and void. It is an adoption that is sealed by the Holy Spirit himself because it was an adoption purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to go one last place as we end this morning. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Because if you were to go back to Romans 8, it tells us, you know, if we will suffer, all right, for the things of God. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Your faith and my faith is very precious to God. He wants our faith to be steadfast in him. He wants our faith to be rooted in Jesus Christ. He wants our faith to be built upon that solid foundation. And he wants us to be encouraged in the fact that he's given us gifts. Not just the gift of salvation. Oh, great, my sins are paid for. But the fact that because I'm a child of the King, I can always come to him with my needs and my wants. And there's just times, you know, I just want to spend some moments alone with him, not really needing anything or wanting anything, just to spend time in his presence. I remember as a little boy, there were times that I had like that, just my dad would be like in the living room or something, and I didn't really need anything. I didn't really want him to do anything for me. I just went in there and sat down. I just liked being in his presence at different times. There's times where, again, just sitting in the presence of the Lord. Because you know what? In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Just being reminded that, you know what? I can actually sit with God. And he actually has time for me. Do you know how many children, spiritual children, God has? I have 10. I have 10 kids. And if more than one is trying to talk to me, I'm having to, shh, shh, wait, she's talking, he's talking, right? And they all want to say what they want to say, but I can only hear so much. But we have a Heavenly Father who has the amount of time and the ability to hear every single one of us all at once and to be able to provide exactly what we need. He doesn't have to go, okay, wait a minute, what did Susie need? What did Johnny need? Wait, I got their gifts mixed up. There's been times where I've mixed up gifts for kids. At Christmas time, I mean, you're trying to, you know, get 3 gifts for 10 kids, and you're wrapping, and we forget who got what. And someone, we've done this where some kids unwrap, oh, wait, that's not yours, and we give it to some other kid. But we have a Heavenly Father who's perfect. He's perfect in his knowledge. He's perfect in his provisions. He's perfect in his protection. What an awesome God we have. What an awesome Heavenly Father that cares so much. He does everything perfect, decent, and in order so that we will continue to trust him, continue to follow him, and continue to rely upon him.